1320 WILS. Well, the Gordie Howe International Bridge, as it's now named, that project is still happening, but this week a new court challenge being considered. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit scheduling a hearing for mid-September. Basically, the owner of the Ambassador Bridge, Marty Maroon, wants to derail the whole project. Tom Shields is a spokesman for the Gordie Howe International Bridge Project. He's also the president of Lansing-based Marketing Resource Group. Tom, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me back, Michael.
Matty Maroon, now he's the guy fighting this and has been all along. What's this latest challenge all about then?
This is probably lawsuit number 437 by the Manny Maroon
family. Are you serious, or are you joking?
No, I'm not serious. I'm exaggerating the numbers, but he's probably had over almost 50 straight court rulings against him, but he continues to battle this in the courts. And from his standpoint, every day he delays this is millions of more dollars in his pocket.
Is he delaying the project right now?
No, he's not, but because the project is moving, because there's other things that are going on right now. But this project, when it was first announced, thought they could finish by 2020, and now it's probably going to be more like 2022 or 2023. So if he really is pulling in $150,000 to $200,000 a day and fares on this bridge, then that's a lot of money that he's made by delaying this project.
Well, they're saying is that this project is going to make the Ambassador Bridge going to destroy the bridge because it's going to drop traffic by 75%, and they're not going to be able to operate as a business.
But that doesn't hold any water in court. What he's making the argument here is that the state and the federal government don't have any constitutional right to build a second bridge, because when their bridge project was approved originally in 1921, before Matty Maroon owned it, before it was built, they're claiming that the government gave them exclusive rights only to build one bridge. And the courts have already ruled twice in this case against them, saying that no, what it says is that it gave you the right to build a bridge. It didn't give you exclusive rights. You're not the only one that can build a bridge there. But that's what their main argument is on this new. It's an appeal to the Court of Appeals there. They've already lost twice on this case alone. Mm-hmm. They have other lawsuits in the state courts, which is trying to stop eminent domain from taking place and purchasing the land that they've bought up over the last 10 years in order to get into this legal battle when the state decided to finally build
that land in Detroit, right? Basically,
yeah. They went in and bought land, including an old truck delivery station down there. They bought a bunch of land in the area where the bridge is going to be built. And so now they're making the case, you can't use eminent domain to take this land from us. So they're battling that out in the state court while they're doing this other thing in federal court. I think, they're going to lose in both cases. But if they can delay it, it may be worth the legal fees.
So how much longer do you imagine the court battle continuing?
Well, the federal government, state government, and Canadian government, I think, had incorporated into their timeline, the fact that they were going to get these legal battles in eminent domain when they did this. So I would imagine that this Court of Appeals ruling, if they get a date on September 14th, they'll get a ruling by the end of the year.
Okay.
In the Court of Appeals. And if the Court of Appeals turns them down, they obviously would have a right to go to the Supreme Court, but that doesn't stop anything.
Okay.
Once you lose at the local court level, you can appeal these things, but that doesn't stop anybody because there's no injunction against you continuing it because they've lost.
So this point, has any construction of, where is the project? Go ahead.
Right now it's moving forward, but it's a snail's pace. What they're doing right now is that the state is negotiating and buying up the property. There's 670 parcels in this area that they have to purchase, and they're being reimbursed by the Canadian government. So they're buying those parcels. They're moving infrastructure, power lines, other things, getting prepared for construction. Once they have come to a deal on the price and then purchase the property, then they're tearing those pieces of property down. So they're going through that process, which they always knew was going on. Secondly, what they're doing is there's an RFP out to three major groups that are going to bid on they're going to be, it's called a P3 partnership, public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. And whatever group wins that RFP, and that decision, you know, should be made by sometime around the end of the year, is that that group, whoever is picked, will design the bridge, mm-hmm. they will build the bridge, they will finance the bridge, they will also operate it and maintain the bridge once it's done.
So that's a huge deal.
A huge project. Billion-dollar project.
$1 billion, is that the number?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's $1 billion project here that they have to bid on here.
Who's the front runner to get this project, then?
I don't know. They're all international companies. Okay. There isn't too many domestic bridge building companies of this size. So mm-hmm. a lot of them are French, English, German, Spanish companies that come in, and then they partner with local Detroit, Windsor, Canadian, and American companies. And so you put together these groups, and they all do a part of this. So one's doing, you know, the major, one's the front firm. The other one does, you know, the engineering on it. Right. The other one leads the construction. And so there will be, you know, they're expecting, you know, 10,000 jobs to build this bridge.
Incredible.
This will be the largest infrastructure project in North America for the 3 and 4 years that it's going to take to build this.
So
it's just huge.
I'm curious with Matty Maroon. I know he tried to go through state lawmakers to stop the project. Is there any potential effort in Lansing to try to still stop this thing?
There's nothing that I can see. I mean, the agreements have already been signed by the state and the Canadian government, the premier and Governor Snyder signed those agreements. Those have been upheld in court so far.
Okay.
So at this point in time, there's nothing a legislature can do. The only thing they can do is really try to use the court system. So that's why he's filed in state court on the eminent domain and, mm-hmm. and the federal court on this constitutional question. They believe that the state didn't have the right to sign an agreement to begin with.
What about the state cases, the eminent domain cases? How are those going then?
They were filed in January. I haven't heard of any hearings yet. Uh-huh. So they're probably, you know, going through finding of evidence and everything like that. So I would imagine that they're filed in January. They'll be heard by the fall.
Is he right, Tom, to say when they predict 75% drop in traffic on their Ambassador Bridge once this new bridge is in place? Do you think he's accurate there?
I don't think it'll be. I've seen different studies. I don't think it'll be 75%. The Ambassador Bridge will still continue to get us all the local traffic. If you're going from Detroit to Windsor, you're not going to go down to the end of, you know, unless you're going to southern Windsor. But if you're going from Detroit to Toronto, or Detroit to Montreal, or Chicago to Montreal, you're going to use that new bridge. But if you're going over to Windsor, you're going to use the tunnel or you're going to use the current Ambassador Bridge because it's a convenient place. But where it's not convenient is that once you get off that bridge is you got to go through 17 stoplights in order to get down to the expressway. That's where it's not. And that's why all of the business traffic, the commercial traffic, I think most of the commercial traffic, the long-range truckers will end up using the new bridge. And anybody, you know, traveling up to Toronto and other places like that. But local traffic will still stay on the bridge. So I don't think he's going to lose 75% of his I think a lot of that is still local traffic. I mean, there's thousands of people that go back and forth between Detroit and Windsor every day for work.
As a businessman, does it make sense to you the way he's fighting this project?
It's a huge, he makes money so many different ways off of this. It's just a huge part of his income. But he's got trucking firms and everything else, too, and it's conglomerate. I mean, he does very, very well. So, and then it's all interrelated. I mean, his trucks cross across those bridges, and so he's paying himself.
Wow.
So he's got an advantage on shipping for that. So he uses that bridge for that. So.
Yeah.
I trust that he's a smart business person. You know, he wouldn't be as successful as he is without that. And he's making these decisions looking at what the overhead cost is.
And as you said, every day is more money for the Maroons, certainly. Tom Shields, spokesman for the Gordie Howe International Bridge, also president of the Lansing-based Marketing Resource Group. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Here's Fox News.